Again, I want to say thanks to Mark Zweifel for his past preaching last week. He's kind of prepared me for my message this week. We were talking about, are actually going to be talking about the pastor. And he talked about the role of a pastor is preparing the congregation for the here and now and for eternity. So that's the role of the pastor. So let's stand and read, if you would, just read with me this passage of Scripture, Ephesians chapter 10, verses 10 through 13. This is our focal passage. He who descended is the very one who ascended higher than all the heavens in order to fill the whole universe. It was he who gave some to be apostles, some to be prophets, some to be evangelists, and some to be pastors and teachers to prepare God's people. Stop. Okay. To prepare God's people. I want you to get that. It's to prepare God's people. And we can read on now. For works of service, so that the body of Christ may be built up until we all reach unity in the faith and in the knowledge of the Son of God and become mature, attaining to the whole measure of the fullness of Christ. Amen. You may be seated. So this Greek word is used throughout the New Testament. But it's only used this time. The only time it's translated pastor is in this passage of Scripture. In Ephesians chapter 4. That's the only time it's translated pastor. Do you know what it's translated in other places in Scripture? Shepherd. Shepherd. The Greek word is poimen. Okay? But the Greek means shepherd. But it's translated pastor. I'm glad I looked that up. So, and actually in the Old Testament, oftentimes throughout Scripture, in the Hebrew it's called shepherd, but many translators, depending on if it's talking about a person who is over a flock of individuals, or a flock of sheep, they will change the name from pastor to shepherd, depending on how it's used. The pastor, simple meaning, is a shepherd. We had a Russian lady here one time several years ago. Her name was Alyssa. And we were studying on Wednesday night, Psalm 23, and I said, would you read and interpret in the Russian Bible and interpret for us? And she said, yes, I will. And so she began reading in her beautiful Russian accent. And she said, the Lord is my pastor. I shall not want. And I thought, man, that's pretty cool. That's pretty cool. the Lord is my pastor. See, a pastor, here's the passion of a pastor. A pastor has a heart to see people grow in their spiritual maturity and in their relationship to Jesus Christ. Just as a shepherd desires for his sheep to grow and mature and be healthy, so a pastor who is over a congregation, their desire is to see the people grow in maturity in relation to Jesus Christ. That's their passion. And let me just say this. These individuals are not necessarily paid staff. And these individuals who are pastors may not necessarily be the one that stands behind the pulpit. But they have a heart to see people grow in their relationship with Jesus Christ and grow to maturity to become everything that God has designed them to become. That's their heart's desire. Hopefully, there's some kind of gift of teaching mixed in that. Some of them have a gift of administration and discernment and counseling and different gift mixes. And so God allows, or maybe gives, the gifts that the pastor needs to the congregation that he is overseeing. And so my gift mix is going to be different than Terry Sprinkle's gift mix and Dean Chris's gift mix. There's going to be differences in all of the pastors in our gift mix because God has a specific work that he wants to do in the congregation that the pastor is over. So, is the gift of pastor only for males? This comes up quite frequently in different denominations. And is the gift mix, or if the gift of pastor only for males? Do you think it's possible for a woman to desire and be gifted with gifts to encourage spiritual growth in another person's life? Do you think it's possible for a female to have a gift of wanting to help people develop a greater relationship with Jesus Christ and grow to maturity? Okay, that's what the pastor does. Okay. Now, Pat, there's a difference between elders and a pastor. However, oftentimes the pastor is part of that eldership. Scripture is pretty clear about allowing the men to only be the elders of a congregation. And you'll have to ask him why that's the reason, or why he sees it that way. But in Scripture, it talks about a group of elders who oversee a congregation, a group of elders who are giving oversight. How does the word overseer feel to you? Do you like that? Some people think of an overseer as a taskmaster. Okay? And an overseer is one that tells you what to do, and you got to do it this way, and it can't be done. It's kind of like micromanaging you and helping you just do it their way. Okay? That's not what this scripture is talking about when it talks about overseer. An overseer is one who cares for you and cares for your well-being and is helping you to reach your full potential. That's what an overseer is. You may say, well, that's not quite fair that women aren't to be elders. And I would say you're probably right. And the reason I say that is because elders have to be submitted to God, and we're responsible to Him. And the women have to be responsible to the elders of the church. Or women have to be responsible for submission to their husbands. Okay, you say, I don't like that. Well, who would you rather be responsible to for your actions, your husband or to God? I think a lot of times we think, well, it'd be easier to please God, but sometimes that's difficult, particularly not if you're not on your knees and if you're not praying and if you're not studying His Word. There was a husband had fallen ill and had some very serious symptoms, so he went to the doctor with his wife. The doctor examined him and ran a complete battery of tests on him. And so after he had done so, it asked the man to step outside, and he wanted just to converse with the woman, the wife. And the wife said, just give it to me straight, doctor. Tell me, is my husband going to be okay? He says, well, your husband's going to die unless you take some very special measures for him. Of course, doctor, I'll do anything for my husband to help him. Then this is what you must do. First of all, you must not allow him to have any stress whatsoever. You must make him 3 healthy meals a day. Do whatever he asked you to do. Smother him with kisses all the time and tell him how much you love him. Give him whatever he needs. Spoil him rotten. Wait on him hand and foot. And then your husband will live. So on the drive home, the husband says, well, tell me, what did the doctor say? And the wife says, well, he says you're going to die. Let's talk a minute about the role of the work of the pastor. In Hebrews chapter 13, verse 17, it says, obey your spiritual leaders and do what they say. So this is talking to the congregation. Obey your spiritual leaders and do what they say. Their work is to watch over your souls. Their work, my work, is to watch over your souls. And they, I, am accountable to God. Give them, congregation, give them, me, reason to do this with joy and not with sorrow. And that would certainly be to your benefit. So, the role or the work of the pastor is to watch over your souls. And we're going to share a little bit about how that's to be done. I mean, there's many ways, but I'm going to just hit on like 4 maybe a little later. So here's the thing. We work with Jesus, the pastors, who take their responsibility serious, work with Jesus to accomplish this. 1 Peter 2:25 says, for you were like sheep going astray, but have now returned to the shepherd and overseer of your souls. We were all once going astray. Every single one of us. But we have returned to the shepherd. Who's the shepherd? The great shepherd? We have returned to the shepherd and the overseer of our souls. That word overseer can be translated caretaker, guardian, protector, guide, and director. When Jesus saved you, his purpose was not just so that you could not spend eternity in hell, but when he saved you, his purpose was to prepare you for heaven. And in order to prepare you for heaven, there are certain things that need to be addressed in your soul. Jesus is the soul caretaker. And part of the pastor's responsibility is to join with him to be a caretaker of your souls. Soul care. Acts 20, 17, and then 28 through 31 says this. Actually, this is a charge given to the elders in Ephesus. And when we landed in Miletus, we sent a message to the elders of the church at Ephesus asking them to come and meet him. And when they arrived, they gave the charge and said, so guard yourselves and God's people. Feed and shepherd God's flock, his church, purchased with his own blood, over which the Holy Spirit has appointed you as elders. I know that false teachers like vicious wolves will come in among you after I leave, not sparing the flock. Even some men from your own group will rise up and distort the truth in order to draw a following. Watch out. Remember the 3 years I was with you, my constant watch and care over you night and day, and my many tears for you. So as we read this passage of Scripture, we find that there are certain things that Paul is instructing the elders in Ephesus. And one of the things he says, I want you to guard the flock. A shepherd is responsible for guarding the flock. If a bear comes in, if a lion comes in, if a coyote comes in, whatever, their responsibility is to guard the flock to keep these wolves from entering. And one of the responsibilities I have is to not allow someone to bring in false teaching to you. If I were to allow that, then I would be responsible to God for allowing that to happen. It's very important that I guard the flock, that no one comes in here to twist God's word. I need, Scripture says, guard yourself. That's what Paul said, guard yourself, and also guard the flock. I need to be careful that I guard against sinful desires, and that when temptation comes my way, that I don't fall into temptation, but I resist temptation. I need to guard my tongue, the things I say, the words I speak. My tongue causes me to trip a lot. And I have to be careful to guard my tongue. We need to guard against a sinful heart. We need to guard against pride and self-interest. We need to guard against a hard heart. We need to guard against satanic attacks, confusion, disunity, anything that sets itself up against the truth of God's word. We have to guard against it. And you have to guard against it in your own heart. I can't make the decisions for you. I can give you tools to help you make the right decisions, but I can't make those decisions for you. So how does a person overcome selfishness? By giving to others, by serving others, giving of time, of talents, and resources, sharing with others, blessing them. These are the best ways to overcome selfishness. And I think all of us have a tendency toward selfishness, or most of us do. And so the more we can give of ourselves to others, the less tendency we're going to have to be selfish, because there's something about sharing and serving others that brings joy to our heart. The second thing that a work of the pastor is to feed the sheep. That would be a sorry shepherd indeed if he didn't feed his sheep, right? If truth wasn't spoken in the church and the church became just a social club, that would be just a sorry shepherd for that to happen. A pastor should challenge you with God's word so you can grow, so you can address those issues in your life. He wants to fatten you up spiritually. Do you remember the Israelites coming out of Egypt? They didn't always do the right thing. As a matter of fact, it seems like that they did the whatever Moses told them to do, they did just the opposite. In Psalm 106, there's a passage that speaks to this. It says, they, talking about the Israelites, soon forgot his works. They did not wait for his counsel. They lusted exceedingly in the wilderness and tested God in the desert, and he, God, gave them their request but sent leanness to their soul. He sent leanness to their soul. They forgot his works. They did not heed his counsel. They rejected the word of God. They got what they asked for. Their prayers were answered. But it was selfish requests. Their prayers were answered, but God sent leanness to their soul. I don't want any of you to have a lean soul. I want every one of us to be fat and sassy. Maybe not sassy. But I want us, every one of us, to be healthy spiritually. The word was spoken, they refused to hear it. Huge responsibility of a pastor. One of the things a pastor does is to guide. Moses was a shepherd of millions of people. He was following God and wanted the Israelites to follow him. Paul was also a leader, a shepherd, and this is what he said. Church, and this was in Corinth, the Corinthian church, he said, church, I want you to imitate me just as I imitate Christ. You know, I don't know that I'm there yet. I don't know that I've reached that maturity level that I can say, you follow me just like I'm following Christ. What I'm going to tell you is you follow Christ because I may mess up. There's a lot of things that I know the Lord wants from this church. I love what God's doing in the school. I love where we're going with that. And I thank you, church, for embracing that and encouraging that. One of the things, too, that the pastor is responsible for is caring for the flock. I mentioned earlier that a pastor is to look over the souls, soul care, from the congregation. It's very important. I believe that every person who comes to Christ either has wounds or brokenness in their life. We don't come to Christ perfect. And one of the things that the Lord wants for us to do is to be healed from those wounds and brokenness, because I don't think we can ever reach what God wants us to reach until we're healed from those areas. And so this idea or this area of soul care is very important. So in closing, let me just ask a question or two. Do you have a desire? I mean, it's kind of a passion within you to see people grow in their relationship with the Lord. Do you have a passion, a desire, not only a passion and desire, but the ability to speak into people's lives to help them come to a point where they're growing in their maturity? Do you have that? If you do, you may have the gift of a pastor. Search that out. Here's what I know. A pastor cannot pastor 1,500 people. He has to have pastors to do that. I know that. Okay? A good pastor can pastor about 50. And so what happens is that as the church grows, there's going to be need for others to come on board, because a single person can only do so much. Okay? So the second question I have is this. How is your soul? How is your soul? Psalm 23, I mentioned it earlier. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. He restores my soul. So the Lord would ask of you today, how is your soul? He wants to restore it. One of the ways he restores it is, there are many people who do not know Christ as their personal Savior, and they've got a bunch of baggage. And their soul is just messed up. When we come to know Jesus Christ as our personal Lord and Savior, then Jesus begins to mend our soul. He begins to do things in our lives that we couldn't do for ourselves. He begins to help us address those issues that we were powerless to address as an unbeliever. Jesus does that. He works with us to do that. So one of the things that he does in regards to restoring our soul is fear issues. What freaks you out? What are you afraid of? That's a soul issue. And Jesus wants to restore your soul by allowing you, helping you, getting you to a point where you can trust Him even with the most frightful things. He wants to restore your soul. Do you have unforgiveness issues in your life? Do you get angry and wonder, why did I get angry at that? Why was that? Who comes to mind when I ask this question? Who makes you the most angry? I'm glad nobody looked at their spouse. Who comes to mind when I ask you this question? Who do you need to forgive? And here's what Jesus wants you to know. That He saw when you were injured. He saw when you were wounded and hurt. He took notice of that. It wasn't like He forgot to look. He knew. And when you come to a place where you're able to forgive, He will restore your soul. He will restore your soul. I mentioned selfishness earlier. Who are you serving? Are you serving self? Are you serving others? How much are you giving to other people? How much are you giving to ministries? Jesus wants to restore your soul and set you free from selfishness. We talked about discouragement earlier. Jesus wants to set you free from discouragement. He wants to restore your soul. He wants to restore each of us. But we have to let Him. We have to be a partner with Him. And we have to go to Him with these hurts, hang-ups, problems that are in our life. Because Jesus is the restorer of souls. The Lord is my pastor. I shall not want. He makes me to lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. He restores my soul. He restores your soul. Father, I come before You today. I want to thank You for restoring our soul. Thank You that You are the great shepherd, the great pastor. And Lord, thank You that we get to work with You. Lord, I pray today that there would be some restoration of souls in the hearts and lives of those individuals that are here. Lord, there's some who have come here who may not know You as their personal Lord and Savior. Lord, You said that if we turn from sin, ask Your forgiveness, You will forgive us. If we place our faith in Jesus, You will accept us as Your children. And so, Father, I pray that, God, You would have Your will, Your way, Your work in our lives. And God, that any wounded heart that's here today, You would heal. Any broken heart, You would mend. And Lord, that whatever needs to happen, you would address the soul issues in our life. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
I want to ask